You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Observation deck?
Sorry, ma'am, but it's too late.
Oh, no, please, I really need to get up there.
We're closing up. No more runs tonight.
Listen, can I just take a look? There's someone I was supposed to meet. He's probably not there, but if I don't at least look, I'll always wonder about it.
Cary Grant, right?
You know that movie?
One of my wife's favorites.
That is so schmaltzy.
There should be a sigh at the end of that. Anyhow, we're talking about romantic comedies because it is the holidays. And, of course, you're thinking spending time with your partner, perhaps a romantic comedy would be just the thing. That is Sleepless in Seattle. That's a Meg Ryan movie and Tom Hanks movie. Yeah. Don't you? I just sort of assumed everybody remembered that, but that was not a good idea.
On the top of the Empire State Building, a little kid went there to try to get them together, and he actually succeeds.
Right, exactly. There's a happy ending.
If my kids tried to do anything like that, I would put them in jail. My kids would never be allowed to fly by themselves from Seattle to New York.
But luckily, they don't have to.
That's right.
You're not single. Correct.
That's correct.
But romantic comedies might not be the best thing for your relationship, at least according to Bjarne Holmes, who is the director of the Family and Personal Relationships Lab at Harriet Watt University in Edinburgh. And he joins us now. Welcome.
Welcome and good morning. Thank you.
You're sounding a little bit like Grinch, maybe? Romantic comedy, something light, fun, something enjoyable, brain candy, but not necessarily a good thing for us?
Well, look, we're not saying in any way that people shouldn't watch these things, okay? It's all good and fun. What we are trying to say is perhaps people should be a little bit more skeptical of some of the messages in these films and particularly pay attention to how they might affect one's emotional life. Look, we started this research because relationship counselors tend to find a couple of themes across couples that come to them. Often couples seem to have very unrealistic notions or about what really constitutes love and what it looks like. For instance, the notion that if your partner really truly loves you, then they should be able to understand what it is you want and need in life without actually you communicating it. And that tends to get some of us in trouble. So what we were kind of interested in
it's
is,
like that ESP thing, right? Like,
yeah,
if you
exactly.
love me, you automatically can peer into my brain and see exactly what I'm thinking.
Hey, Bjarne, four words for you. We'll always have Paris, okay, dude? Why do people set up romantic comedies to be such models for their own relationship? Or romantic movies?
You know, it's interesting. I mean, we know that this is fantasy, right? It's nothing new about that. These kind of things have been around a long time. This notion of an ideal relationship has been around a long time. So the question might be, well, are we any more vulnerable today to these kind of messages than we've been before? And I would actually say yes. And the reason for this is, it's not that the messages in culture have changed. It's our expectations of relationships that have changed. In other words, if you go back 200 years and you ask who's the most important person in your life, with all likelihood it wouldn't be necessarily your married partner. It would be a best friend. It would be perhaps somebody outside your marriage simply. Marriages were often based more on bonding families together, property together, etc. Nowadays, we in Western cultures have really got to the point where we say, well, marriages should be based on the notion of love. Well, the problem with that is a lot of these stories now, these old kind of myths, in some sense have outlived their own use because what you'll notice in these films is it's all about finding that perfect soulmate out there.
Right.
And it doesn't say anything about what to do once you have that soulmate. Relationship science says basically that, look, you don't find a soulmate out there. What you do is you, through effort and work that's fun, you build up a relationship over time that lets you feel like soulmates.
So in other words, you came up with this conclusion of this idealized structure of what a relationship is about by looking at 40 of the big box office hits of romantic comedies from 1995 to 2005. But out of curiosity, how are these movies different than from, say, fairy tales that have been told for generations?
Well, they're not that different at all, actually. But just because fairy tales have told that over generations doesn't necessarily mean it's right. The expectations are so much higher today, and this is the point I'm trying to make exactly. And so, you know, look, we know there are some general trends and effects across society from this. What we don't know is how differences in personality styles and relationship styles might affect how vulnerable people are. That's why we've just started a brand new research project online internationally, where we hope to be able to answer some of those questions. We'd like for all your listeners to get involved. And would you mind if I actually plug that website?
Plug it.
It's www.attachmentresearch.org.
And finally, so then what should we do to guard against these unrealistic expectations that are inspired by these movies?
Well, you know, we need new narratives in popular culture. We need narratives that actually help us understand, what do you actually do once you're married? What do you do once you've found that compatible, potentially compatible soulmate? What do you do with them over time? How do you succeed? Those narratives are not in culture. And I think in this time of season, what you might want to do is, once you're done watching one of these, is turn off the TV and maybe talk a little bit to your partner what it is you actually do like about them, instead of being so focused on what they're potentially lacking.
I got a suggestion, though. How about a lot of yoga that involves deep breathing?
Well, you know, nothing wrong with yoga.
Well, the deep breathing would work, yeah. With maybe a soundtrack, possibly. Or maybe that's what we're trying to get away from.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know.
I need
we'll just
a
have
soundtrack.
To give it a shot and see.
Well, you certainly gave us some things to think about this morning. Thank you very much. Bjarne Holmes, the director of the Family and Personal Relationships Lab at the Harriet Watt University in Edinburgh.